The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are with me. We're going to go back, clean up some weeks in the year 2007, post-WrestleMania. But we're also cleaning up WrestleMania here and now. And the biggest news of the week is that Bad Bunny is such a badass that he could do two weekends of Coachella and then go and throw a 6'8", maybe 6'7" man onto a table. It's pretty rad. It's pretty fucking rad.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. I'm really glad he's back. I think I kind of like when they said, oh, he's going to host Backlash, because I think he's got like a tour coming up for the summer, right? So he didn't want to like risk anything. So I'm like, well, okay, that makes sense. But then, you know, I kind of thought all along maybe him and Ray and like Santos would be a tag team against Judgment Day. But then it's like they're doing another trios match on the show. So I'm not going to do that. Maybe he will just host. But yeah, when it came out that, you know, he's going to face Priest in a street fight in Puerto Rico, like that's going to be a hell of a time, man. Really fired up for that. You know, Bad Bunny, very good in the kind of periods that we've seen of him. And, you know, just the environment is going to be incredible. And obviously he's familiar working with Priest, and I'm sure they've been working on that match already. And I'm excited for it, man. It's he's a celebrity where, like, you know, of him and Logan Paul and Pat McAfee, he's the one we see the least. So he still feels kind of the most special. Plus he's kind of like the most popular and all that of all of them. Yes. So like, it feels like a big deal when he comes and wrestles, or even when he just shows up, it feels like a big deal because I get, you know, all this mainstream attention. And yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad he's back. It's gonna be a really cool time.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate that Damian Priest missed out on WrestleMania, but maybe that was strategic. Mm-hmm. Because now he's working the biggest match of his life in front of his family, his friends, I'm yeah. sure, in Puerto Rico against literally Bad Bunny. I mean, the big winner of this all is probably Damian Priest, and good for him because he's done a great job the last 2 years, I think, since he got called up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a nice little threat for him because obviously it started with Bad Bunny and now it's continuing on with this whole thing. So good for all involved. I mean, you know, they're producing a hit. Backlash looks like a very fun show. I look forward to watching next week.
It's going to be really fun. Between that, I know people want to shit on the Rollins and Omos match, but it's something Rollins hasn't had to do in a really long time, and slay a bigger dude. Mm-hmm. Triple threat match on the U.S. side has some promise because I liked how they presented Bronson Reed.
Same.
Yeah.
That looked nasty.
Yeah.
On Monday, rather.
Yeah.
So it's shaped up to be a pretty good card. And of course, when you have Bad Bunny, who, just keep it frank, I'm a supporter of all things and bring the girls. Bad Bunny makes the girls go, woo, similar way that Roman Reigns does. And I'm never going to sit here and tell you that Roman Reigns is a bad thing to have for a business. So Bad Bunny just puts a whole another section of eyes on WWE that wouldn't necessarily be on there. Also going to keep it frank, you got two very handsome dudes who are in that match. That is going to get very good publicity. Mm-hmm. on the entertainment sphere, Extra, ET, Access Hollywood, they're going to pick this up, not just because it's Bad Bunny, but then also because Damian Priest is a pretty handsome figure, and he can work himself in those rooms as well. So the promo for this match is going to be off the charts too. I hope they main event this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about that, like, if Brock and Cody, they could lead off, and then yeah, your main event with this, like, it kind of feels like they're gonna, because Bad Bunny is, you know, the biggest star in that building. But, and like I said, with the environment too, but like, I mean, we'll see.
But that's also the thing, like, do you want to show off the biggest star in the building right from the get-go when the crowd is at their peak?
That's a good question.
Or do you want to make them wait?
Good question.
Because I think if Brock and Cody doesn't close, it's going to open.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think the fact that the reason that Brock was mad was because he wasn't main eventing and Cody was.
Yeah.
Does kind of make me wonder, like, okay, well, maybe they have him main event just to, you know, give him a whole, you know, a nod, like, okay, you're sorry, quote unquote, sorry that you didn't main event against Lamas. But yeah, it's either going to be one of those two. I think the six man with the Usos and Solo and KO, Sami and Riddle is probably in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate that main eventing this time.
No, I don't think they'd main event with the six man two straight years.
That's the other thing. And I think, again, like, it's just the idea of, you know, it's the attraction, and it's not a slight or a disrespect towards the people in that six man tag match. If Roman was in it, it has a better chance of main eventing, right? Because people come to see Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And the attractions for that show are Brock, Cody, Bad Bunny, and Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be either of those two matches there.
Yeah.
And I can see the logic for either opening or closing right now.
Fair. Yeah.
I would actually go that route, because I'm pretty sure Brock wants to get back on a plane and get back to
National. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. A longer commute than usual for him, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, actually not, because, yo, he's going to be on the beach. Like, yeah, it's a little vacation for him and Sable and the kids.
There you go.
But I hope that the Bad Bunny and Damian Priest match main events, that's going to be a really hot And again, like, it speaks to the fact that the dude can do Coachella 2 weeks in a row, get on a plane from California, Southern California, to O'Hare, be at Allstate, do the whole thing, and he's not a wrestler. Like, we reiterate it, but like, it really speaks to the passion that he has for the business, and then the respect that it is mutual from our end to him, and then back to us. So love to see that. I think that's something that's just very remarkable to see. The other big news that came out of Monday Night Raw is that we have the return of, well, I don't know if it's that lineage of the World Heavyweight Championship. That'll be left to be determined. But it is going to be the World Heavyweight Championship. Roman Reigns obviously taking his time, because he's going to hit the 1,000 days, and I assume he's going to eclipse that and take it all the way in the next WrestleMania. You might as well at this point. So he's going to be away for a little bit, and Triple H determined that the way the draft works, Roman Reigns is going to go to one show. He's going to take the WWE Championship. I think it's just going to be one championship along with him. The other show, which I assume was going to be Raw, will get the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, we could talk about who might be that champion in a bit, but I want to know if we are all in agreement that the worst thing that they could have possibly done is take Big Gold and stick the logo right in them, smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get it, you know, with the branding, because you know, you look at the older titles, like, you know, they'd put the logo at the top instead, and it would look, you know,
yeah, but
it looks again, fine. I know it's harder to see like that logo when, you know, Patrick Mahomes or whatever is wearing it after Super Bowl, but like
everyone recognizes it. And remember, this is the same place that got mad that Aaron Rodgers was holding up Big Gold instead of one of their WWE.
Well, that's true.
But I think, and it also, to be fair with the belt and the title, I know that the WWE logo is, it's a bit obnoxious in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the reels that they've been posting of like closer up looks of it makes it look pretty nice. There's some lions in there. There's some eagles in there and stuff. They kind of,
yeah, it's a nice tribute to
the winged eagle and other title belts they've had before. I can understand why some people would find it to be an eyesore. I get it.
I mean, really, like, I didn't love it when they revealed it, but it's like a, you know, new uniform or logo for a sports team where by the time it's actually like in practice, I don't think it's really going to affect me that much.
But also not to be completely accusatory to everybody involved, but there is a level of groupthink sometimes with wrestling Twitter, and sometimes everyone loves to, you know, complain about everything. So that kind of tends to happen.
I mean, I would have just brought back the regular, you know, big gold belt, but you know,
I get the fact they want branding on everything.
Yeah.
I just think you have to be able to acknowledge when something is ugly. And seeing that on that pedestal, it just didn't look good. Yeah, I was kind of looking up close and like, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not hidden. And it's not in the same vein as the Universal Belt, because the only thing about the Universal Belt was the strap. Everything else about the Universal Belt was fine. This is like taking something that's beautiful and majestic and just be like, yo, we're just going to stamp this with a fucking brand. It's like putting a Omega Psi Phi brand on your arm when you don't need it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking need it. Nobody in sports is going to be rocking that fucking belt. I can guarantee you they're going to be still wearing the WWE Championship and not that World Heavyweight Championship. Now, the thing I like about it is that we finally have a championship that has gold in it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
None of the WWE Championships have gold in it anymore.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean,
very good point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think it'll grow on everyone. But, you know, overall, just, you know, looks aside, it's good that there are two titles again.
I guess.
I mean, I think you either have two titles or you have a champion who actually works both shows. And I haven't really had a problem with Raw for most of the last year, but it would have been nice if Roman showed up more. I think we've repeated that you know, a handful of times over the past year. And it just, you know. Like, in theory, it elevated the U.S. title more, but also did it really? Like,
sure it did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a more active title than it was. There we go.
It's more,
I was going to say, like, recognized, but that doesn't really count.
That's fair.
It's a little more active.
It's more active, but it wasn't elevated to the way that Miz elevated the Intercontinental Championship while Brock was away.
That's true.
I think, you know, in comparison, it's always going to look at, well, you know, kind of a lamer run. Your champion, if you want to say a champion was on Raw, is Bianca Belair. And your champion was the absence of Roman Reigns was kind of buoyed by the fact that Bianca was so dominant. And you had a couple of hot guys coming back in and forth. And also Seth Rollins is always going to get attention wherever he's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that there is a standard male champion again, I'm thrilled and I'm very happy. And it seemed like your one and only for this belt is Seth. At least on Monday, that's the way it seemed to me.
Yeah.
I found it particularly interesting that Finn and Seth were the ones to really recognize the title, especially since they were the ones who fought for the Universal title 67 years ago almost now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It just it's hard to really tell kind of before the draft. It kind of feels like now that maybe they changed King of the Ring because they're going to do a tournament for this title instead.
And that would explain the creative, quote unquote, decision behind it. Because Mike Johnson, PW Insider on the Elite subscription, had been saying that the reason that they changed King, Queen of the Ring to Knight of Champions was a, quote unquote, creative decision. That could lead everyone to rightfully believe they will crown a new champion at Night of Champions.
Yeah.
That's why it's called that. So they'll probably do a men's tournament. As for the women and Queen of the Ring, perhaps it happens in the summer.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't need to happen now. I understand why people would be upset by that. However, I don't think that they are simply going to scrub it away.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully they do a tournament. I think you kind of have to when you do a new belt.
Yeah.
More or less.
Well, they will.
Yeah.
They almost likely will. It's a 3-hour show because it's definitely going to happen on Raw. Let's be honest. Yeah, Roman is not moving from SmackDown. They love him too much, and he brings too much attention to there. He's going to SmackDown. Cody is probably going with him. So you will have a field of competitors that will probably be most of Triple H's guys who would work those long matches. Maybe splicing a Brock. Splicing like a Lashley. Splicing.
Turn Drew and give him the title first as well.
Well, Drew needs to show up to work.
Well, that would help.
Right now is not showing up to
work. That would help.
It would, but I'm just saying he's not showing up at work. Yeah. I agree that it would help him, but he right now is not showing up to work, so he's unaccounted for as far as possibilities, I would say. But he's also in the last year of his deal. So they're not gonna probably give him a title unless he's gonna re-sign with
them. That's fair.
That would be.
Or I just want to state for the record that I support Union 316 WWE workers and your right to not show up to work.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the question I have for you guys is, does having this new title make it feel lesser when Roman, eventually loses? Because that's been a thing that some people have been saying, they brought this new, and I don't think it makes sense. Like, I think whoever beats Roman is still going to be the guy. I think it's still going to be Cody, to be honest with you. But like, it's been a thing that's popped up. Like, oh, now beating Roman means nothing because there's just this other title too.
No, it doesn't mean, it's not that it doesn't mean anything. I think the impact of it is definitely lessened. Because like I said last week, the moment was right there to do it. The moment was right there to do it. He could be stamped as the champion, not a champion, the champion. It would have been a special moment, and that got ripped away. So it's not going to be as majestic as it would have been a month ago. But to say that it doesn't mean anything is false. It is still going to be the A championship. It's the WWE championship.
Mm-hmm.
But that the WWE championship wasn't the premier titles when Triple H was holding it, and that's just because Triple H was making that so. Every other time, you were tuning in to see the WWE champion.
Yeah.
So Roman's going to have that, and Roman's going to run with that, and it's still going to be the top draw. And that's not to say that whoever's holding the World Heavyweight Champion isn't. You know, it's two brands for a reason because it's two champions that can rock it, same as it is Raw and SmackDown. Rhea and Bianca can eat from the same cake. You know, granted, Roman Reigns is always going to be Roman Reigns, the same as like John Cena was John Cena, but we're seeing it right now. There's also Edge on with right now, but going to be on SmackDown and going to be running SmackDown for a while. Taker's on SmackDown, running SmackDown.
Yeah.
When they would have Eddie Guerrero on SmackDown and Triple H on Raw and kind of running things. Like, you always have, two top dudes to be running shit. Cena, Batista, it's always two top dudes running shit. So whoever it ends up being, and I that's why I think it's going to be Seth, because if somebody's going to win that title, it has to be a number one guy.
All
up to Bobby Lashley. I love Bobby Lashley. I don't want to see him win a championship with as a smiling fucking baby face. So he's out for me. So, unless somebody on SmackDown who might be on Raw in a couple weeks, Gunther maybe, Gunther got to drop that title. It don't seem like he got that title yet. So, for me, it's got to be Seth.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think your friend had mentioned this. It needs to be someone who's already established who wins that title. You can't quote unquote make a star with your first champion because he has a reputation to uphold. So it doesn't really work in that sense.
Your point, that's such a rough start with the Universal Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Make a star. They try to make a star and make the title at the same time. Back-to-back times, and it didn't work.
No,
it did not. By the time it was finally on Roman Reigns, about 2 years after it was introduced, was kind of like, wasn't really used a lot. And then Roman went able to shit. I don't even think the Universal title meant shit until Roman got it in 2020, to be frank with you.
Yeah. So, Brock held it for 500 days.
Yeah, Brock had it for a long time. They gave it to The Fiend for a while. It was dark days for a while for the Universal title. It was kind of cursed because, COVID happened, Finn got hurt.
It wasn't cursed title for a little while, yeah.
So hopefully this one doesn't suffer that fate.
I hope it doesn't. Long live Big Gold. We are coming off of WrestleMania 23. Just to recap, John Cena's the WWE champion, still retained over Shawn Michaels in a phenomenal main event. Taker, once again champion. I think it's the first time he's been champion in 5 years. Beat Batista for the World Heavyweight Strap. Vince McMahon is bald, so there's that. Thanks, Trump. And then, yeah, a whole bunch of other stuff happened, but I mean, like, we can get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, we can get into it here. Top five songs, down to number five is Cupid's Chokehold. Down to four is Why I'm Hot. Up to three is Beautiful Liar. Down to two is Glamorous. New number one song is Don't Matter by Akon, which was everywhere. So I get it. Top five movies. Down to five is Shooter. Staying at four is Wild Hogs. Down to three is 300. Debuting at number two is Meet the Robinsons. And debuting at number one is Blades of Glory.
So do you want to start on Blades of Glory or Meet the Robinsons?
We can start with Blades of Glory.
Funny as fuck.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, it's not Talladega Nights or Semi-Pro, but it's very good.
I think it's kind of become underrated. It's like... Yeah. Last of those Will Ferrell movies, because once Semi-Pro comes out, it's like it starts tailing off. Blades of Glory has some jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
And who is Will Arnett? Who the fuck is
Will Arnett and Amy Poehler, isn't it?
Yeah, Will Arnett and Amy Poehler are just fucking jokes.
Yeah.
Another duo. It's such a good, funny movie. It as underrated as Blades of Glory is, I think, is, you know, in this day and age, I think Meet the Robinsons is a very underrated cartoon, very underrated animated movie, and the message of it is terrific. If you've never seen Meet the Robinsons, go on Disney Plus and watch Meet the Robinsons. It is a wonderful movie.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. I remember it being out, but yeah, I don't think I've ever watched it. It's got a good cast.
Keep moving forward. That's the message of it. If you need some inspiration, if you need to feel some kind of happiness, go watch Meet the Robinsons.
All right. Did we have the final four? Did we have the final four last time?
We can talk about the final four. Final four, of course, this year it is Ohio State, Georgetown, Florida, and UCLA. This final four is taking place down at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. The logo looked like a peach, as you may or may not be surprised. And in the final four, let's see, in the first semifinal, Ohio State defeated Georgetown 67-60. Despite the fact that Greg Oden sat most of the game because of foul trouble, they were too much for the Hoyas. And meanwhile, Florida defeated UCLA 76-66 to advance to the national championship game again. 10 minutes into the game, they took a double-digit lead. Lee Humphrey blew the game open. He hit three consecutive three-pointers to open the second half, and then UCLA never quite threatened. So we have a national title game of Florida and Ohio State, just like the BCS National Championship a couple months before.
True. That is true. And
on that Monday, Florida won back-to-back titles. They defeated Ohio State 84-75. They led 40-29 at the half. It was kind of a foregone conclusion. Ohio State, they did score 46 in the second half, but ultimately was not enough. And the most outstanding player, I believe.
Either Noah or Horford. I think it was Horford.
It was actually. Yeah, it was Corey Brewer.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Most outstanding. I knew Brewer was in 06 or 07. I couldn't remember which one, but it was 07.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Good for Corey Brewer.
It was Brewer, Noah, Horford. I'm blanking on the other dude on the wing, and then the white point. Oh, Lee Humphrey is the white point guard. Who was the other wing?
For Florida.
Yes.
That's a good question.
But it was like those five for back to back seasons, and I think that was the last back to back championship team that we've seen in
college. Yes.
What was that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think you mean Torian Green.
Torian Green. Yes.
Torian Green. Yeah. There we go.
He was serviceable in the league, but you know it's a rarity that you're going to see a team win a championship and then run it back.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, the top scorer in the NCAA tournament, Ron Lewis of Ohio State, with 108 points.
Oh, okay, there's a name
I would not have guessed that.
Right, who definitely wouldn't guess that one.
Who is, of course, famous because he hit a big shot against Xavier.
Yeah.
What about Xavier?
Gus got him. It was the round of 32 against
Xavier. Oh, yeah, that was him.
He hit the three-pointer that I believe tied the game at 62.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was awesome. So it was like, Lewis is awesome. He lets it go. End in.
Yeah.
Ties the game at 62. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Raw from Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, another center.
Weird travel from Detroit. I guess they're close.
Yeah, I mean,
not really?
No, not really. It's like,
weird, the very weird thing to do. They couldn't just go to like Grand Rapids or even be in Detroit. They hadn't.
Dayton's like Western Ohio, and Detroit is Eastern Michigan. Yeah, so it's like
I've never understood that.
I don't know why
the wings at home or something.
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't just stay in Detroit. I don't honestly, know why
they could just go to the Joe.
This is before they just decided to make a weekend out of Mania.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
But this was still this is the third year doing the Hall of Fame. They did their fans in. They have always done access. I'm just surprised that
that they stayed. Was it Arizona?
Or no, they stayed in Texas, in Houston. Because I remember going to Raw at the Compact Center. Or the Ferris Center, whether it was newly built or not, that weekend for 25.
Okay.
So Orlando, when they did 24, they did that somewhere else the next night?
That actually might have been the start.
Because the Flair stuff, because all the horsemen were there and stuff, that was almost certainly in Orlando.
Yeah, you would have to figure.
Yeah, it was in Orlando. So that's the first time they did it. So it's next year.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense because they eventually would make Orlando their home base.
Yeah.
And let's see. Were the wings in town?
I don't know. It's crazy, man. Like, again, I don't know why it wouldn't click to them to just stay in Detroit. But
hold on. What day is the show?
April 2nd.
The wings, they had been in Columbus on April 1st, and they returned to Detroit to face Columbus again on April 3rd.
Yeah.
So I can't make sense
of that. No, it's wild. I mean, historically, the Nutter Center is a building that they've run. I mean, they had King of the Ring there in 1993. And, you know, it's where Brett won King of the Ring and is what it is. John Cena's here to open the show. Kind of a mixed reaction. You hear the women and children are cheering and a lot of the men are booing. You can kind of tell, you know, he does the champ is here thing. Shawn Michaels comes out usually the night after WrestleMania. He comes out and talks about the awesome match that he had and how he and his opponent made history. Cena may have won last night, but he's not the better man. Cena says that if Shawn wants a rematch, he can name the time and the place. Shawn says he's not busy right now, so what about tonight? And Coach says that that's not happening. They're still tag champions. They're going to defend those titles in a 10-team battle royal starting right now.
And what they don't tell you is that they don't just wrestle in one 10-team battle royal. They wrestle in multiple.
Yeah, so they win the first 10-team battle royal against teams from all three brands. And then Coach comes out and says you have to have another one. They have 10 different teams, and they lose that one, and the Hardys end up with the championship. So, I mean, whatever. You got to get it off Shawn and Cena.
Yeah, you have to get it off Shawn and Cena somehow. The best way to do that is by not having them pinned, so do it in a battle royal. Give it to the Hardys. That's fine. They were still a very popular tag team.
Also, Miz and Nitro teamed up in this battle royal.
Very true.
So
first time they've ever teamed up.
Yeah.
Funny how that works. Timbaland was in there.
Yeah, a theme of all three shows this week. Timbaland was there.
Yeah, he's
got
to get some run.
Yeah. Shawn tells Todd Grisham that it's time to stop having the tag titles. Oh, yeah, Shawn threw Cena out, by the way. That's what happened there.
Yeah, Shawn threw Cena out.
Mudding the waters. Randy comes up and says Cena couldn't beat him like he could beat Shawn. So get some contenders lining up. See who is the number one contender.
And then we get a first-person point-of-view shot of Vince McMahon talking to Jonathan Coachman. Vince said that he's going to the ring. Everyone backstage glared at him, and Ron Simmons went down.
He did.
So Vince came out. He was in a hat. JR sounded like he was going to die.
Yeah, JR's in bad shape.
They could have I guess they could have probably just trotted out Cole or even Grisham, but Grisham was doing ring announcing right now, I think.
Yeah.
He will later on the
he will.
The European tour. But Vince is mad. He booked Lashley and Umaga in the main event. He said that this hat is glued to his head, so it will not come off. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Vince made the lean announcement as the winner of the match. Lashley came out. Vince tried to punch him. Lashley dodged it, and he pulled the hat off. So he went to Waller's crown and JR's hat. So, yeah, of course, that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
Flair and Carlito defeated the world's greatest tag team. I don't understand that one after the last few weeks.
No.
That's a weird booking decision on top of several
other things
that have happened. Melina came out for a championship celebration. However, Mickey came out and hit the Mickey T, however the hell she pronounces it.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have a Melina and Mickey feud still continuing on. Just had to deal with the lull.
Yes.
In between.
Great Khali picks up a win over Super Crazy. Armando's talking to Vince, tells Vince to take it easy, and Vince adds him to Umaga versus Lashley later tonight, so it's a handicap match now. Edge is on the stage. He would also like a title shot, just like Sean and Randy. It's interesting. I wonder how we're going to settle that.
Yeah.
And then it's time for Umaga and Armando against Lashley for the ECW Championship.
How many handicap matches are we going to do here?
Yeah, they do a lot of them.
Jesus Christ.
They beat up Lashley for a while, and then he fights back and wins, and that was your Raw after WrestleMania. So, again, it was not a thing for – honestly, it's probably only been a thing for, like, three total years. Like, the early 2010s, it was a thing, and that's about it.
Let's be honest. It was a thing from 2000 where it should have been, like, you know, its hype. Its hype was probably in 2012, went on through about 2016, then started to really taper off.
I guess 2002, like, Brock debuted, but, like, that was more just, oh, WrestleMania's passed, it's a new year.
It's time to start a new year, exactly. The Raw after Mania thing absolutely started in 2012 when the Miami crowd went freaking crazy, and then Brock showed up.
Yeah.
That's what happened. You can't even say, oh, it was the year before when The Rock and Cena made their match. No, so The Rock came back weeks before.
Yeah, and then they did the Ziggler thing in 2013.
Yeah, 14 was best remembered for Bryan's celebration and Paige winning the Divas title. 15, you know, they had some dumb shit happen with the dumb crowd. 16, Cesaro came back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, ECW from Fort Wayne, Indiana. So that's where SmackDown will be this week. So they are continuing to hit up the Midwest. Bobby Lashley starts off the show. WrestleMania 23 was the biggest moment of his life. He knows he has a target on his back from Vince McMahon, but he doesn't care. He will just push through it. So CM Punk defeats Stevie Richards. First time, I believe, he uses the GTS to put away his opponent in WWE.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of his Ring of Honor stuff. I don't know if he was – I know he used the Anaconda Vice quite a bit. He used the Pepsi Plunge. Yeah, CM Punk. Whatever happened to that guy?
Needed.
The New Breed are still trying to get Punk to join them, so that will be continuing on here. Since he defeated Hardcore Holly,
he needed a finisher because the Anaconda Vice was not hitting up into that.
No, it really wasn't. I don't ever think it really did.
No, not really.
It's like Punk, because the thing about Punk is he's a wrestler, I guess, but like he's not a submission style guy.
Yeah,
he knows his stuff, but like people come to the wrestling shows, and if you're a submission guy, they know it because you're a technician. A lot of people like the high impact stuff, though. And GTS, it builds up the drama and you get the impact of the move.
Yes,
I get it. Totally.
Stinsky defeats Hardcore Holly, beats him down after. We will not see him again until the fall because he's got a MRSA thing going on. So he's got to get that taken care of.
Yes, you remember that.
Then we get the ECW Originals against the New Breed, an Extreme Rules match, which they should have just done at Mania.
They could have just done it at Mania. I don't know why they
did. Elijah Burke does a Shining Wizard on Sabu through the table and kind of looks like he broke both his knees.
Yeah, he fucked up his knee on that, yeah.
But he appears to be fine, and the New Breed get the win. That was ECW.
Indeed.
I wish that would have happened at WrestleMania, the entire, or just not happened. Wish all that just happened on ECW. There was no need
for a
WrestleMania match to happen at all.
Yeah, I guess it's the only, I think, of the time that ECW is recognized on this, in this, you know, brand or whatever, that is probably their quote unquote top Mania moment. Didn't say much because, you know, next year we have the Shamrocker with Kane and Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
I don't think they did anything in 2009.
No, it was pretty much dead by then, I think.
Well, no, because Edge was champion. Christian was champion for a little while. Can you remind me if they had a match at Mania 25?
WrestleMania 25, they did an Extreme Rules match, Matt Hardy against Jeff Hardy. Nothing for the title or anything.
Okay, this is their peak. That was their peak.
Yeah.
And that's not saying much at all.
No. All right. On to SmackDown, also from Fort Wayne. Kennedy's here. He won Money in the Bank like he said he would. Every champion should be on notice. He's in action against Jeff Hardy. gets the win, and Hornswoggle comes out and attacks him, but it's a ruse for Finley to come out and attack Kennedy with the shillelagh and tells him to never attack Hornswoggle again. Fair.
Yes. Kennedy, who also, by the way, is very popular right now.
He is. Red hot.
Very popular. Came in, talked to Teddy Long. Teddy set up a match between Finley and Hornswoggle against Kennedy because Kennedy did not take kindly to Hornswoggle interfering. He came in there and he demanded a match with Hornswoggle.
Yes.
Immediately.
He did.
So, yeah, that's happening. Timberland is also here again. He was talking with Ashley Massaro because in the whole point of him being in there, he was getting WWE Divas to be in the Put It On video.
Yeah, which he will end up doing.
He will end up doing. That is correct. I remember that being a thing. So that's why he's here. So Jillian Hall tried to impress him. She did not. And Timberland and Ashley Massaro went away left.
Yes.
So we move to Miz versus Chris Benoit, which is a match that born off of the internet rumors that Benoit kicked Miz out of the locker room. Other bullshit that dumb piece of shit did.
Yeah. Benoit went for the diving headbutt, and MVP pulled Miz out of the way, and Miz got the cover for the win. So
I did like that, and I did like MVP kind of just like sneaking off and sleuthing away.
Yeah.
I did like that.
Hey, man, listen, good for Miz. You know, good for MVP. They ended up having better careers than Benoit, you could argue. So.
And I think also this is a good way of continuing a feud off of a match where a guy lost the title.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that everyone's like, oh, well, champion shouldn't win or whatever. Okay, I get it, but that's what they're doing, and it works. Booker T said he was going to make Matt Hardy pay for threatening Charmel in the Money in the Bank ladder match. He does not.
He does
Matt
not.
Matt gets the victory. And after that, Charmel called Booker a loser.
They've done that. They did that last year.
He chided him greatly.
The same angle.
It is kind of the same angle, I agree. But they're on the rocks right now. She slapped him backstage too later on in the show.
Is it also like effectively the end of Booker? Because he's going to...
Not yet.
Well, we'll see him in the main event segment, but then and he gets drafted, but...
Yeah, but he's in the Vengeance Night of Champions match, the five-way.
That's true.
With Cena, Orton, Lashley, and somebody else who probably don't remember being in that match.
Yes.
Can we get to that? Kane was going to face Dave Taylor, but William Regal and Dave Taylor beat him down before the match could even get going.
So yes.
We'll see where that goes.
We get a vignette that Mark Henry's back soon. I'm very excited for that because he was kind of coming along when he blew out his knee last year. And I don't remember a whole ton of what he did between, you know, coming back from that and the Cena stuff, which there's like 5 years in there. So we'll see. I mean, hopefully there's some good stuff. London and Kendrick defeat Gregory Helms and Chavo Guerrero. Undertaker comes out. Batista comes out, says he wants a rematch and then leaves. Booker comes out to attack Undertaker to try and impress Charmel, and Undertaker tombstones him onto the announce table, which does not break, which looked very painful.
Yeah.
And that was SmackDown.
Correct.
All right.
Not a bad show. I liked it a little more towards the end of it. The Undertaker segment with Batista just saying he wants a rematch, simple and effective.
Yeah, it was effective.
Okay. Move on. Top five songs in America. Number five, moving up from number seven last week, is Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. Glamorous, Fergie featuring Ludacris, dropped from number two to number four. This Is Why I'm Hot jumped from number four to number one. Number three. The Sweet Escape jumped up from 6 to 2, a song that is still played in arenas all around the country today.
Oh, yeah.
And Don't Matter by Akon is still the number one song in America. Top five movies. The only movie that jumped into the top five, or the top four, I should say, is Grindhouse. The Reaping jumped from 16 last week to 5. I'm guessing they had a bigger release. Are We Done Yet jumped from 13th to 3rd. Also another one where I'm sure that had a limited release at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then number one and number two movies in America are still Blades of Glory and Meet the Robinsons, respectively, for this week. Let's move to Raw from Bridgeport, Connecticut, the arena at Harbor Yard.
Yes.
Shane McMahon starts off the show. Usually the name McMahon is met with fear and respect, but for the past couple of weeks, it's been met with laughter. Hopefully that continues on to present day. Laughter over what happened to his father at WrestleMania. Shane's going to put respect on the McMahon name again tonight, so he would like Bob Lashley to come out there. He came out. Lashley took the McMahon's family dignity at Mania, Shane said, so he's going to take his ECW title. Mike came out, but Shane asked him to leave because he doesn't need help. Lashley agreed to Shane's challenge, but Shane has to put his hair on the line like Vince did, so they're doing title versus hair.
Yeah, there we go.
In the main event, we get a tag team match. Start of the show with Mickey and Candice Michelle, who beat Melina and Victoria. So more advancement in that feud to kick the show off. Mick Foley was here with a Make-A-Wish kid who was the honorary general manager of Raw. It's very nice.
Yep.
Nice to keep him around. We have a tag team match. Ric Flair and Carlito, who defeated the world's greatest tag team last week. Wrestling Kate and Murdoch, the Redneck Wrecking Crew. Carlito, you know, he's really enjoyed getting to know Flair. And so he's made this a number one contenders match for the tag titles. He played a video of Flair's big moments, and he said he's ready to be champion again. However, Flair got thrown to the outside. Kate and Murdoch double-teamed Carlito, and they won. So the Redneck Wrecking Crew are the number one contenders for the tag team titles. Flair apologized, but Carlito left in frustration. I, too, would be frustrated right now if I was Carlito, because this shit sucks.
It's true.
If you're going to have him win last week against the world's greatest tag team, a team that you probably could get mileage out of against the Hardys, you're going to anyway later this year, why the hell do you keep doing this stop and start stuff?
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's dumb. And the benefit, the worst part about hindsight, not the benefit, is we know this doesn't lead to anything. They're just wasting time doing, just putting the dude... he's just jogging in place. It sucks. He's genuinely one of the most entertaining people of this era that we've enjoyed for the last couple of years in the mid-card. He's spinning his wheels right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's lame.
Yeah.
It's incredibly lame.
No, it is. Sean and Randy both have up their number one contenders match coming up next. Sean has his music back, which is nice.
Yeah.
The DX music anymore. Probably could have just done that at WrestleMania, but, you know. Sean's eye is bleeding, isn't great. Edge is here to distract Randy. The ref gets taken out. Sean goes for sweet chin music, but Edge distracts him, and Orton takes advantage. Randy hits the RKO on Sean on the floor and tells Edge to leave. Edge refuses and spears him instead. Eventually, a second ref comes out, and Sean hits sweet chin music and falls on Randy for the three count. But Sean's shoulders are also down, so the original ref declares declares Randy the winner, and the new ref declares Sean the winner. So we're not any closer to having a number one contender.
We are not, because Edge also declares himself the number one contender by the process of elimination.
Yes.
And also, I'm realizing this now. I did not realize that the finish of Backlash was a callback to this finish, because this was really good.
Yep.
This was really, really well done. So backstage, Mick was with the kid. And they're visiting with some superstars, and Coach says he makes the big decisions. Edge interrupted him with Coach away, because Edge wants to scheme, probably to be the number one contender at this point.
He does. The Hardys defeat the world's greatest tag team. So, again, you know, could have done more.
You can't get anyone else to beat that loss.
Yeah.
You can't get anyone else. You're doing the losing thing, but now I'm just being Ric Flair and Carlito.
You just showed last week you have all these tag teams that you put together out of nowhere. And, yeah, it's dumb. John Cena's on the cutting edge. They go back and forth for a while. Michaels and Orton show up, and then the Make-A-Wish kid comes out along with Mick Foley and announces a fatal four-way at Backlash for the WWE Championship. So, yeah, that'll be fun. It's a great match.
Rule.
Lashley and Shane in the main event never really gets going because Umaga comes back and beats Lashley down, and then Vince joins in, and at Backlash, it's going to be Umaga, Vince, and Shane versus Lashley for the ECW title. That was Raw.
What?
Fine. There's parts of it that are good, I guess.
Jordan Michaels' stuff is, I think, honestly, Gunn doesn't need a championship. He is doing a great job this year. Solo again.
Yes, I agree. ECW from Providence, Rhode Island, probably the Dunk. Yes, it's not called that anymore. I don't know what it's called now. I don't care. Vince here to open the show. He's going to make Lashley's life hell. He's also banned from the building tonight. RVD and Elijah Burke are still both trying to recruit CM Punk. He's going to pick a side tonight, so they finally leave him alone. Kevin Thorne beats Tommy Dreamer because there's only 8 people on the show and they just wrestle each other in different combinations every week. CM Punk defeats Steven Richards again. Sandman accidentally hit Punk with his cane while he was trying to hit Matt Stryker, who was also ringside, tried to explain it to Punk. And then Monty Brown defeats Rob Van Dam. Elijah Burke attacks Sabu, and then they double-team RVD. You know, him and Monty Brown. Punk comes out to confront them, but joins them instead, and he's in the New Breed.
Mm.
See how that goes.
Yeah.
That was ECW.
Moving to SmackDown. So it starts off with Teddy Long in the ring. He brings up how last week's show ended with Batista saying that he wanted his rematch and that people have been asking or wondering when this match is going to take place. So Teddy announces that he will take place at Backlash in a few weeks in Atlanta in a last man standing match.
It's a very good last man standing match.
Yes,
I'm very excited for it.
Yes, it is.
Finlay
and Kennedy were supposed to fight. However, Kennedy apologized for what happened with Hornswoggle last week. Finlay accepted his apology, but Teddy Long did not take kindly to the wrestler scheming against the idea of not having a match. So what does he do? Makes a tag team match.
Yeah.
Between those two and Batista and The Undertaker. Set to take place in the main event.
A tag team match, playa.
Kendrick wrestled Deuce and Domino. It's a very confusing finish. I watched it before. I still don't understand it.
They wouldn't
disqualify him because he were out of control.
They wouldn't adhere to, you know, when you tag in, you're supposed to be out of the ring within 5 seconds. They wouldn't adhere to that, but they also don't ever enforce that.
It's so random that it doesn't work.
Yeah. Benoit's in action against MVP in a non-title match. You would think that they would kind of move on to something else, but they're not. They get 20 minutes.
For a non-title match.
Yeah, for a non-title match that we've seen already a week ago.
I think
Bayley and
Bianca
that's true.
Run is...
MVP wins using the ropes for leverage, and maybe he'll get a rematch at Backlash. Kane squashes Daivari, and then it's time for Undertaker Batista against Kendi and Finlay. Also about 25 minutes. Not a lot of angle advancement on this TV, just a lot of matches. So,
well, to be fair, SmackDown doesn't have a pay-per-view until mid-May.
That's true. That's a good point. Actually, no, because they're the pay-per-views are co-branded. Right. Backlash is the first one where they're back together.
You're right.
But they only have Undertaker and Batista and probably Benoit and MVP, and that's about it for them. Maybe Finlay and Kennedy get in there somehow. So they did hit kind of the big stuff. Undertaker hits the choke slam and goes to set up the tombstone. Batista tags himself in and hits the Batista bomb on Kennedy for the win. So they are still not getting along, which, I mean, that makes sense. But that was SmackDown. Next week, we'll head to Italy. The week after, we will head to London. So
big thing to talk about Italy.
Yeah, big thing to talk about in London, too. So we got really fun couple weeks coming up here leading into Backlash. But yeah.
Wait, I haven't watched the London shows yet. Is the big thing not the main event overall?
That's the big thing for London. The one for Italy, obviously, is
the one Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that one. Wait.
I watched it the other day as part of this whole thing. Honestly, really still a very strong segment in a rewatch.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
So they're back to back?
Yeah, they're back to back. Italy 1 week and then London the next.
Yeah, because the European tours used to be 2 full weeks.
Yeah.
And they cut that down recently.
Right now they're in Birmingham and going to Manchester.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Gotcha.
Fun time.
We'll skip King of the Ring this week. We'll bring it back next week. Thank you guys for joining us as we cruise along through April 2007 and 2023. Rob's at Robert O'Neill 31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. I am at Cameron Santo. At BarberChairNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarberChairDigital. Tune in. Draft is tonight. The boys are in Kansas City at Saturday Night at the Hallis on Twitter and Instagram. Keep following them. Make sure you're keeping all up to breast on what the Bears are doing and also what else is happening at the draft. They're going to have everything for you. We are out. We see you next week. Holler at you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.